Fantastic.
Perfect.
Want is on now, then.
Yes.
Everybody's in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Can you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for Pastor.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to celebrate our 245th birthday just recently as a country. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy and the opportunity we have now to meet as a board. I pray that you give everyone wisdom as they talk about their concerns during the business meeting, and that you would give our board wisdom and faithfulness as they serve us. Thank you for them, and thank you for our sheriff department. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we've got a couple public hearings that are continued. But before we get to that, Supervisor Chipball could not be with us this evening. So if there are any questions or topics that the supervisor should either respond to or be part of, we may, in those cases, provide a response in writing via mail or email. And we could, in our next meeting, providing supervisors here, we could bring those items up and have those responses so that they can be recorded as well. There is an item on the agenda to vote on the highway union contract, but we've just recently determined that we need to hold off on that one until the next meeting, so we will be acting on that one tonight. Okay, public hearings. First order of business is we have two continuations of public hearings from the prior board meetings. The first one is on proposed local law number 1 of 2021 entitled the Solar Energy Facilities Law. We extended this hearing since the governor had just announced that meetings would be open to the public again. So we wanted to give the opportunity to anyone who might want to come down in person, might not be, you know, using Zoom or computer or whatever. If they wanted to come down in person, we wanted to give them the opportunity to do that. And we will be keeping this here through the next board meeting as well. For the very reason that we are still collecting input, and we do want to finalize wording and give the public that last chance to review it before we actually have a vote. So we're not actually closing that yet, but we will be continuing it today. So I will make a motion to resume the public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 2021 entitled the Solar Energy Facilities Law.
Second.
Any discussion?
Lisa? All right. Last time there was some confusion over what was the appropriate version of the local law. So
watch it.
I won't go that way.
Yeah.
I promise. But thank you for telling me because I wouldn't have seen it. There we go. And can you pass one down to Jen as well? This version of the local law, and I have copies here for the public as well. This version of the local law shows all the changes that have been made to date and has the date at the top of it, so there can't be any confusion of July 8, 2021. I've personally verified that it has all of the changes requested by the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Planning Board and by this board. And I just want to say for the record that we have the following comments pending with respect to the local law. That is, I have not made these changes. I'm waiting for input from you guys, okay? It's people have requested enhanced public notice of receipt of the applications. They've requested signs being posted on the property. They've requested community-wide notification, visual screening around the entire perimeter without regard to what can be seen, without regard to what's on the other property, I think would be a better way to put it. trees for screening to be resistant to disease and deer browsing. Somebody raised a concern about Norway spruce. Someone asked to restrict the size of the solar project for annual inspections of any solar project that's built, specifications for all equipment as part of the application, MSDSs for all equipment as part of the application, post all solar applications as PDF on the website, and require every page of the application to have a page number, date, and name on it. Battery energy storage to be prohibited, that's what they've requested that. And they've requested that a pilot be required and that with each project has a sign off from DOT, DEC, and the fire company. So those, I just compiled all the comments to date. That's what those are. And, you know, obviously we're still collecting comments, so there may be more, but I just wanted to sort of bring us full circle as to where we are.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, there's no immediate rush to the finish line here. So, I mean, while it's, you know, it's unusual that we're continuing this hearing from meeting to meeting, I think it's also good that we consider all the points that are brought up. So
it is.
So like I said, well, we have this input. When Roger's back in town, we can talk about what to do. I don't know if we should have a special meeting to try to resolve those things so that we come to the next board meeting more prepared, or but we can talk with Roger about that when he's back in town. That might be a way to try to expedite this a little bit more.
You can have a workshop at which you don't make any decisions, so you just discuss it. And
right, just to get through all the bullet points. Yeah.
If you would, that's entirely the town board can do that anytime they want to.
Yep, okay.
As long as we do it with public notice.
Sure.
Which of course we would.
Okay, thank you for that. Now we need the clerk to call the roll to officially open.
Councilmember Ganta?
Aye.
Councilmember Senecal?
Aye.
Councilmember Potter?
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel?
Aye.
And I do, by the way, I do also have a letter from a resident that I will read into the record after we've allowed the public to provide their input. So if you do wish to speak, please start by providing your name and your address. So at this time, is there anyone that's participating via Zoom that has any comments today on the solar energy facilities law?
Good evening. This is Lynn Bruning.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. 13388 Twainsburg Road. Thank you for summarizing the input thus far. The agenda as posted on the town website includes a solar law, of which may not be what was distributed tonight. I hope that this, what was distributed tonight, can be posted on the website as soon as possible and provide some clarity as to what is, what version we're working on at this time. I have some comments to make, of which were not in the summary. I request that there are density requirements restricting how many solar power plants can be located within a 1 mile radius. This will help prevent one part of town from becoming an energy plantation with hundreds of acres of solar panels and the associated electrical infrastructure. I would request that the applicant is required to provide a power purchase agreement indicating who is purchasing the electricity generated and for how long. The term community solar is a marketing term that may misrepresent the project. The electricity generated in Twainsburg may be sold to distant towns, counties, or states. The renewable energy tax credits are frequently sold to the highest bidder. These projects use our town's resources, land, and views, but at the end of the day, they may do very little, if anything, to benefit our town. I request that battery energy storage is reviewed as a separate independent project. NYSERDA writes and reviews contracts for battery energy storage as standalone independent projects. The array and storage may be co-located, but they are independent systems and separate contracts. These contracts can be sold independently, which may make it confusing and hard to follow legal trail. I've included four NYSERDA contracts. These are the four separate contracts at Oak Hill, just as an example so that you really understand. NYSERDA treats these very differently, and they're bought and sold separately. Battery energy storage should have a separate payment in lieu of taxes agreement. Again, the state views energy storage as independent projects with their own contract. The owner-operator sells the battery storage energy at a higher rate during peak evening demand. If the town doesn't secure an energy storage pilot, then the town may fail to capture revenue. I also request that the board review... I request that the town board also review and approve the application for renewable energy projects. These projects are likely to be the largest land use and greatest economic changes to our town. They will likely impact the town's land use planning and economic development for generations. The more eyes on a project, the better the project will be for both the citizens and the town. Providing checks and balances between the town and the planning board decreases the opportunity for any impropriety. And the legal documents should reflect the names of who sat on the committee that wrote the law. Current legal action filed in Albany County, it's case 905502-21, it's a group of towns that have filed against New York State Office of Renewable Energy Siting, and it includes a claim of conflict of interest. And I've included the exhibit for you. The media reports that the renewable energy contractor was both a consultant to the town to help write the town solar law, as well as an employee of one of the contractors at this energy facility. The easiest remedy is for the solar facilities law in our town to include the names of who sat on the committee to write the law. Transparency and accountability will help protect the town from unwanted and expensive lawsuits. And then I mentioned the confusion of which law, which version of the law we're looking at. And I again request that what was handed out tonight is posted on the town website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn. Is there anyone present at the meeting tonight that has anything that they want to add? Any comments regarding the solar law? All right.
I'm sorry. Oh. This is Christina Lucchides.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I pressed the wrong button on my phone.
Oh, okay.
1320 Alexander Road. I too appreciate the readout of all of the comments and letters that the board has received. That's very helpful. I don't know if I missed it. At the last meeting, there was a discussion of, in terms of abandoned solar farms, materials, and the takedown plan for the materials on the property, that, you know, the property has to be restored to its previous look. There, we discussed at that last meeting putting in language that the removal and disposal of the solar panels and materials need to be done through recycling, need to be deposited in a recycling unit. Is that something that could be added into the language of the solar law?
I think the state requires that it be disposed of with a licensed company that handles that type of material, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Christine, the if there are materials in construction and demolition debris that can be recycled, the state requires it to be recycled.
Okay, is that language that should just appear in there anyway, just as a safeguard?
Yeah, we can put it in there. That's no problem.
If it already exists, then it would seem to be part of the plan, so there's no questions asked about that.
Sure, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, and no one else had comments here, so I did have that one letter from a resident, so I will go ahead and read that. This letter is from Susan Biggs, dear Supervisor Chipball on the town board, please read my comments concerning the public hearing of draft solar facilities law, local law 1 of 2021. Please include this letter in the official record of tonight's planning board meeting minutes as posted on the town website. Please include the following items in the town solar law. Require annual inspection by an independent engineer, arborist, and neighborhood residents. Renewable energy sites are on private land. Failure to require an annual inspection by an unbiased third party may result in the trespassing on abutting parcels to view the project site. Annual inspections by a third party increase the project's accountability and transparency. It will also afford the owner-operator, planning board, and town protection against unwanted legal action. Provide for community-wide notification. The town's 2001 telecommunication law requires a 32 square foot notification sign to be erected at the proposed site at the time of application. Solar arrays and battery storage impact all residents of Duanesburg. Please follow the precedent set in 2001 and provide a notification method similar to that in the telecommunications law. Restrict the size, number, and location of solar power plants and battery energy storage in our community. Failure to include size and density restrictions may allow parcels to be surrounded by solar power plants and endanger existing structures and forests. Require town board approval of all renewable energy projects. This will reduce possible loopholes inviting fraud. Require specification sheets and material data safety sheets for all equipment used on the project site. Developers only provide the bare minimum of information unless required. Providing equipment specification sheets would provide the project a method of quality control. Require that the town and planning board make a site visit to the proposed renewable energy project at the time of application. Abutting neighbors should be included in the site visit made by the town and planning board. Require that the developer notify the abutting and adjacent neighbors within 1/2 mile of the project at the time of application. Proof of mailing would be through certified mail. These items will improve our solar facilities law by providing transparency and accountability of town actions to those most impacted by the siting of renewable energy projects, the abutting and adjacent property owners. Thank you, Susan Biggs. Okay, as I mentioned, we are going to keep this hearing open through the next board meeting. We will be sure to get the most recent copy of this proposed law on the website. I'll work with our folks to see if we get a link right on the main homepage so that there's no confusion about it. So I will now make the motion to continue the public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 2021 entitled Solar Energy Facilities Law.
Second.
Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Ganther.
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Councilmember Potter.
Aye.
Councilmember Seneca.
Aye.
Okay, the second public hearing is for proposed local law number 2 of 2021 entitled the Commercial Event Venues Law. We extended this hearing again because we now have meetings open to the public. We wanted to provide folks the opportunity to come in person. Plus, we had additional input from the last meeting that needed to be considered. Once again, we're going to be keeping this hearing open through the next board meeting as well, since we did receive yet more input to consider since our last meeting. This input was received via email, and I will be reading it into the record. So I will make a motion to resume the public hearing on proposed local law number 22 of 2021, entitled the Commercial Event Venues Law. Second. Any discussion?
Ricky, just a reminder, you recused yourself on this one. Okay. That was a long time ago, that's why I reminded you.
Should I have not seconded it?
No, we can ask somebody else to second it.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, clerk, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Ganther.
Aye.
Councilmember Seneca.
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Councilmember Potter.
I'm staying.
Okay, I'm just passing this out as we did with the last law. This one has the date at the top. I also have copies here for the public. This version of the local law, which is stated at the top, July 8th, 2021, has all the changes of the planning board. We didn't get any changes from the Zoning Board of Appeals on this one. And it also has changes that were made based on some of the public comments so far. But as John said, we got a whole set of new public comments. And I just want to remind everybody that there's two comments pending from last time, which was a member of the public asked us to clarify that events can take place in new or existing structures and that parking can be off-site. And I don't believe anybody had a problem with either of those two suggestions. So, but I didn't want to make it and further confuse things, okay? So that's all I have, John, if you're gonna read Mr. Searle's comments in the record.
Mr. Segru.
Segru.
Sorry. Oh, I know.
Too close.
Yes, I know. Okay. Yeah, what I'm going to do is, he sent an email and it was 12 points in it, so we'll go through each of them and see if any of you have any opinions on it. I know Teresa had mentioned to me that she could provide some legal advice to counsel on some of them too. So, but first to those two points that Teresa brought up, new or existing structure. Does anyone have any opinion on that? I don't personally see an issue. Anyone have an issue with that?
No, whatever.
And the off-site parking, I believe that we've discussed that already, right? I don't think we had an issue with that either.
What do you mean? What's going to happen there?
I think it was if the parking was on the adjacent property, wasn't it?
Right, or if they wanted to use a shuttle to bring people in.
So they can do either.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they had to. It was just an option.
Right, it was an option. Yeah.
As long as the facility that they're using has the appropriate egress, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, which would be...
It would be subject to all the other requirements. Yeah.
Right, it would have to go through the planning board, right?
Yeah. Everything's going through the planning board.
Yeah.
It's either or, as long as it... No, it's good. It's good. It's either or.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're good with those. Okay. So... At this time, does anyone who is participating via Zoom wish to speak regarding proposed local law number 2, entitled the Commercial Event Venues Law? All quiet. All right. Does anyone in the audience here wish to speak on that proposed change, that proposed law? No? All good? All right. Then I'll move on to that email from a resident, James Segru. I'll read off each of the points here. Number one, he suggested that neighbors be notified when a request for a commercial venue is applied for.
And that happens already because notice goes out to adjoining neighbors for special use permit applications.
Okay, so that's already covered.
Yeah.
Number two is that all entities involved in the enterprise are disclosed and an address be given where any notices can be served. Property owners and others with any interest in events should be disclosed.
So on every application that's submitted to the planning board, there's a requirement that the owner of the property sign the application. And the party that's seeking the approval also, as the applicant, sign the application. Sometimes it's the same person, sometimes it's a different person. And so in effect, we already do that. I mean, I can put it in there again, but it is the practice of the planning board to require that.
Okay, yeah, it's already covered, same, just like item one, and we should be fine with it. Three, prior to the issuance of certificate of occupancy for public assembly, neighbors are notified of any and all special conditions attached.
So every minutes of approval and resolution of approvals of the planning board are posted on the town website. And honestly, that's the most efficient way to get the information out with respect to conditions. Anytime there's a condition that's imposed, it's either in the minutes or it's in a resolution.
Item four, what precludes an individual from having large events and saying they are not commercial events? Does that negate the need for a certificate of occupancy for public assembly?
Okay, so for these events, there we are specifically regulating commercial events, which are defined as a commercial event associated with the business. The reason why we've done that is because if you want to have 100 of your closest friends over, you know, we don't want to prevent people from doing that. This is meant to apply to a business. So I can look to see if we should restrict it any further, but I you know, we certainly don't want to keep people from having parties at their houses.
Of course,
you know?
Not. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's covered.
It is, yeah.
We're past that.
I think so.
Okay. Item five, what about prohibitions against outdoor fires, if allowed, the need for standby fire protection?
It's already covered.
Well, I never thought about it. Honestly, we don't say explicitly if it's allowed or not allowed. The way things work, it's the state regulates outdoor burning. So you can have like a hot dog stick fire, I guess you would say. We do require that the fire company provide input. We don't require, we require the applicant to get a letter or input from the fire company. I'm assuming that we don't want to prohibit outdoor fires.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So, as part of the general process for this, I mean, should we have something specifically in the law that says that they should get input from the fire companies?
No.
No?
No.
You don't think so? Okay.
Other than the basic egress thing and the same standard thing, but as regards to whether they have a fire pit or not, I just think it's...
No, I wasn't talking about a fire pit.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I was talking about if they're going to have a, you know, a 50-foot fire in the backyard. I mean, I don't know if this... Do we have any regulations of that sort to make this...
Right now, my understanding is that, like, when you have a fire, you're supposed to have... Like it's a 4 to 6 foot pit and you can have a fire inside that.
Okay.
And like that's a standard statewide regulation. Other than that, then somebody can, you know, if you got a 100-foot diameter thing going, then you know, they already have the means to clamp down on that.
Okay, so that 4x6 is a state thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's 4 foot diameter or 6 foot diameter fire.
Okay.
So am I correct to say that if somebody had concern, they called the fire department. The fire department could come and tell them that's too big, and they could
turn
it down out of hand, and they put it out. So,
okay.
So the fire department can handle that.
Okay.
Do we want to address that though? To say to describe what a fire would be and reference the law. I just think we're getting in the weeds too much. Really do.
Yeah, the problem with citing state laws is they change all the time too. That's so. You know, DEC regulates fires. They prohibit burning at certain times of year.
Right.
You know, I would feel more comfortable just if I went back and made sure that they sought the opinion of the fire department on the application itself, you know, okay. That way they're aware of it. Not the fire, but the event venue.
Venue, right. Or is a life safety thing overall, not just that individual thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's in there already, but I'll verify that.
Okay. Number six is that a certificate of liability insurance be required and posted for each event.
Well, they should name the town, right?
As additional insurance.
Yeah, I don't know about each event, but right, don't they do that?
Well, they would be, we can require them to have appropriate commercial insurance for the event. We're not liable for anything anyhow.
No, but you should, it should be requested that the town's name is on there and it's covered.
Okay.
So if they do the yearly insurance or whatever it is, the town's, they should be insuring the town too. That's how we do it.
Okay.
So you can ask Dale. Dale would actually know exactly how that's done.
This name is additional insured. Right. I'm sure you're going to do that with your business.
Right.
As well.
And we have to name the town.
And name them as an additional insured.
Is that because it's
because of the special permit, special okay. event thing? Versus just, I'm asking.
I'm not.
Versus, like, you know, the diner. Like, that's a regular business. And people come and go. They, you know, people gather there. So they have standard insurance. Is it just specifically because of the special event status?
I'm not sure how it came about, honestly. I just know that
just curious.
We do it. Mm. You know, every time there's another large event, those people have to, additional people have to be named on the insurance.
It's a specific requirement of the mass gathering requirements. We can make it a requirement here too. It's not a bad idea just in case somebody gets injured.
Because what if a person decides to run that business over there and not have insurance and somebody gets hurt? I mean, we want to make sure they got insurance.
Yeah, okay.
If I can just make a comment, I was going to say at our church, whenever we have outside organizations come in, we require a certificate. Our insurance company asks us to require a certificate so that their insurance will be primary in case there's litigation and our insurance will be secondary. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Number seven is that all requirements of workman's compensation and other labor laws be met and a certificate of compliance be required before any event can be held.
So legally, they're required to do that anyhow.
Right.
So, and you really would only have, you wouldn't have a certificate of compliance before each event because once the event venue is set up, you wouldn't. You know, I'm not sure what this gets at. I mean, I can look at it some more, but the state laws require it anyhow. And before Dale issues a building permit and allows work to start at a site, we get workers' compensation forms and all that certificates. So.
So we're basically covering you.
Yeah.
All right. Eight was just that required insurance certificates be posted.
Yeah, so, I don't know what posted means by that. I think if it's in the town files, that should be adequate.
Yeah. Nine, that the special use permit specify a maximum number of events per week, per month, and per year.
Nobody wanted to do that. Nobody at the planning board and you guys did not want to do that. So,
no.
Okay.
Okay. Number 10, provisions need to be included for violations of terms of permits. Who is to be held responsible, the property owner or the entity holding the event? What will be the cost for violations?
Those are all covered by existing town local laws, and the amount of money the town can charge anybody for violating the zoning code is regulated by the state, not by us.
All right.
Yeah, so there's really, if somebody violates the terms of the permit, we take them to town court and we, you know, and there's a process for taking the permit away. And there's also a process for imposing fines.
Number 11 is, under what circumstances would the ability to be a venue be terminated and certificates revoked? Sounds like it'll be the same process, right? It'll be up to the court, it'll be up to the judge to decide.
Yes, yeah. One thing we could consider doing for this, and I just throw it out here, is that we impose an affirmative obligation to come in once a year and get the event special use permit renewed. That would at least give the town the ability to have a very serious discussion with someone who is, you know, operating in a way that's become annoying to their neighbors. But I just throw that out there as an option.
That'd be tough. Yeah, it'd be tough for a guy. I mean, it'd be holding, kind of tying his hands up every year.
It would be.
In business, you know?
Yeah. It would be.
Yeah, I agree. I would be inclined to just let the existing processes handle that.
Just deal with the problem child, not all the good people.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes,
no, thank you. No, we certainly need to know all the options. Thank you. Okay, number 12 was, who is responsible for dealing with complaints? If the events occur when the town offices are closed, do we have to resort to self-help or the state police?
So we never resort to self-help.
No, we do not.
And the sheriff is in the back.
Yeah,
so.
He's tapping his bag over there. Yeah.
So county sheriff's office or state police.
Right. We start with Dale, and then if Dale can't be reached for whatever reason, we go county sheriff and then state.
Yeah.
I want to add some clarity in there. My experience from being on the planning board is that when they come in for this type of thing, there's so much that gets covered as far as, you know, the interactions and so on. Because we had multiple times where, you know, we had people that were doing a really good thing. It was like, awesome, hey, what can we do to help you? And then we had other people that you could tell that can be, you know, a mess. And it was like, you know, positively not happening here, but, you know, that was, I mean, it was made really clear. So the process in that, with those interactions, starts way early. And
yeah, you're vetting them right from the start, basically.
And thoroughly.
Yeah.
And I don't recall ever having anything come out negative after they had been vetted, you know, because the people that made it through were like, you know, cool, it's awesome, it's going to work good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we got a good program going already.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Those are the 12 items. Any further comment from anyone either here in attendance or on Zoom? All quiet. All right. So we can draft a response back to Mr. Segru on these items. Let's see. Okay, over there. As I mentioned, we are going to keep this this hearing open as well. We do have a couple of points that we did agree to before we got into Mr. Segru's comments. So we'll get that proposed local law finalized, and again, we'll get that on the website in plenty of time before the next meeting. So hopefully, we can button it up then. Okay, I make the motion to continue the public hearing on proposed local law number 2 of 2021, entitled Commercial Event Venues Law. Can I get a second? Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Gantler?
Aye.
Councilmember Sapko?
Aye.
Councilmember Todd?
Abstain.
Councilmember Lynn?
Aye. Okay, that concludes the public hearing for today. To be continued. All right, on to our regular meeting. Can I get approval of minutes, please?
I make a motion to approve the board minutes from the town board meeting on Thursday, June 24, 2021.
Second. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Councilmember Gantler? Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Councilmember Somerville.
Aye.
Councilmember Fowler.
Abstain, I wasn't here.
Councilmember Gantham.
Aye. Town clerk's report.
Total local shares remitted, $2,933.02. Total non-local revenues, $211.98. Total state, county, and local revenues, $3,145.
Thank you. Monthly supervisors report. Revenues, general fund, $162,890.43. Highway fund, $14,524.13. Total, $177,414.56. Disbursements, general fund, $353,075.30. Highway fund, $41,864.13. Sewer district number one, $8,402.23. Sewer district number two, $8,568.44. Sewer district number three, $2,512.79, for a total of $414,422.89. Payment of claims.
Town of Duanesburg, vouchers per fund, general fund, $24,076.28. Highway fund, $6,680.01. Sewer district number one, $1,524.70. Sewer district number two, $1,069.73. Sewer district number three, $738.34. Total, $34,089.06.
Give it a second.
Second.
Okay, move on to the committee reports. Highway,
all I have is actually.
Go ahead, we didn't vote on that. Any discussion regarding payment of claims? Nice face. All she had to do was make a face. Clerk, call the roll.
Councilmember Potter.
Aye.
Councilmember Sackel.
Aye.
Councilmember Gantham.
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
All right, now on to committee reports. Highway department.
Okay, I spoke to Bill. He said he really didn't have much going on other than, fixing some potholes. And he wanted me to thank the sheriff's department for helping him out up on Crow Hill Road with traffic while they were working. So that's all he had for him.
Good. Okay. Public safety, Bill?
Don't have anything.
Nothing. Parks?
Parks. We had a committee meeting last night, and we met over at Schaefer Park. And the vendor that has done the install and the disc golf was there. We did a walkthrough. They have the whole course is laid out. They do not have the final baskets in. That will be done after our approval. And the committee gave an approval last night for the course layout. So if anybody wants to take a look at that over at Schaefer Park, there's little wood stakes that show each of the holes. It's a 9-hole course that's laid out. And it's going to be pretty nice when it's done. The guys that put it in are really excited about it. So there'll be a course layout that will be put up on the kiosk next to the shed over there. And myself, I don't know very much about disc golf. I've certainly learned about it from talking to these fellows, but they've said that it's actually been around for a long time. So we're hoping to see people in the community get some interest and involved with that as we move forward. Other than that, that took up most of our discussion last night. Not much else to report.
Okay. Yeah, I was at Central Park in Schenectady recently and saw some folks playing. And yeah, it looks like fun. Yeah, I think that'll be a nice addition to the park.
They had us play, each of the board members played the first hole only. In the interest of our meeting, we didn't go beyond that. And the guys that play all the time, it's pretty impressive to watch them. They're good.
Yeah, I bet. Sewer districts, Jeff, we have anything?
No, we didn't hear what Bill's got for us.
Yep. Bill Brown, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's everybody doing tonight?
We're doing good. I did see your email late this afternoon come in with some photos of the progress over at the Delanson plant.
Yeah, that's really our only highlight tonight. Construction continues. The tank is in. Masonry is going to be starting next week. Equipment should be coming in between August and September, and that'll be installed as it comes in. So things are proceeding. We should be in good shape, to be done well before the end of the year, which is our consent order deadline. So I think we're good that way. We've been trading paperwork back and forth with EFC. We had a big document collection process that we did a submission on here at the end of June, working with our MWBE folks on our team, working with EFC's MWBE folks to make sure we're doing all the things we need to stay in compliance. So that's an ongoing process. We will have a couple of invoices at the next board meeting for the general contractor and probably for us on the engineering side. I don't have anything new on Mariahville. That's still in for review at DEC, but that'll likely be a next year construction project. I guess the only thing we kind of have to ask for the town is the IUP listing for Duane Lake. That has been listed the last couple of years in the event, the project gains traction. We did an update for that, and that's done through an online system through EFC. They have a website set up for that. That update is done and filled in, but it has to be hit by the town's account versus us. So we just got to coordinate with the supervisor's office and Jen to have that done. I think the deadline for that is next Friday. It's all filled out. We can work through that system, but we just got to make sure we hit send here in the next couple of days.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, that's for our annual attempt to get a little bit higher up on the funding list for the folks over at Duane Lake to hopefully one day be able to get a solution to a sewer system up there. Right now, it's still just too expensive. We would never get approval for it, so we keep applying for funding. Hopefully one day we'll get up there.
Yep.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep, thank you. Have a good night.
Me too. IT, really the only thing I have right now is that we do have a broadband committee meeting coming up this coming Wednesday, July 14th, 6:30 p.m., right here at Town Hall. You will be able to participate via Zoom, but you'll also be able to come down in person if you like. So that's pretty exciting. That's this coming Wednesday, 6:30. The only other thing that I wanted to bring up was, first of all, we got the new digs here. We're actually downstairs at Town Hall. If you ever come for a meeting at Town Hall, we're downstairs now. We're not upstairs. We've flip-flopped some offices, and we've got a whole bunch more room down here. It looks really good. But we've been talking about a very small addition on the back here. And at our last meeting, Roger had suggested that we get with Nick at CT Mail one more time to kind of review what they've got in mind. And also, he brought up that we might want to revisit what the current cost would be if we actually did the addition we were considering last time, when we put an addition on the side of the building here. We know that would be very expensive, but he thought it might be a good idea to just have a comparison number before we put a shovel in the ground on doing something in the back here. I did set up a meeting for next Tuesday at 9:30 here at Town Hall. Bill Wenzel said he would join me. That's a meeting with Nick. However, I did not, when I set the meeting up, I didn't share with him what Roger's intent was, which is to actually do a re-estimate on that side addition. So I'm not sure if that meeting will actually take place Tuesday. Nick will probably want some time if we want him to do that, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
And the other thing that I didn't want to talk to Tim about again is the computer equipment, which right now is stuffed in a closet upstairs. I'm hoping that whatever we do, we'll provide a more adequate home for that equipment with proper ventilation and all, but we'll get to that. So I'll follow up with you, Bill, let you know if Tuesday is really gonna happen. I'll get with Nick tomorrow. That's it. Anything else to add as far as committees?
No.
All good?
No.
Okay, so the business meeting then, we do not have three resolutions. We only have two because we're postponing the one on the collective bargaining agreement, at least until next meeting. So if we could start with number one there. Someone want to read that one?
The motion to approve and authorize the town supervisor and or the deputy town supervisor to take all actions necessary to request such funds for an allocation of up to $606,139 in funding, subject to a cap of 75% of the town's budget through the American Rescue Plan Act, in parentheses ARPA, Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, whereas by letter dated July 1st, 2021, the New York State Division of Budget notified the town of Duanesburg, in parentheses the town, that the town was eligible for an allocation of up to $606,193 in funding, subject to a cap of 75%, in parentheses 75% of the town's budget through the American Rescue Plan Act, parentheses ARPA, Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund. Whereas according to the Division of Budget, the forms and information necessary requested the finding are available at HTTPS. Do I need to read all that? Probably.
No, you do not. Okay. No, you don't. Right. And that's funding, not finding. Sorry, Rick.
What did I do? Okay.
No, you didn't do anything wrong. No.
Okay. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town board approves and authorizes the town supervisor and or the deputy town supervisor to take all actions necessary to request such funds.
Second. Okay, the discussion here is that essentially there's approximately $600,000 in funding that's on the table from the federal government as part of COVID recovery. But in order to actually get access to that money, we have to fill out some forms and tell them that we indeed want the money. And that has to be done by tomorrow. So either this evening or first thing tomorrow, we'll certainly get that paperwork submitted. And there's also this precise language in it that's covered in the paperwork where, the Fed wants to be sure, the federal government wants to be sure that money is used for a specific purpose. We can't just go out and put flowers at the town park. I mean, it has to be for legitimate purposes that they've outlined. And they will audit that. So we'll be setting up a separate bank account so that we can better track that money and respond to an audit should one take place. As long as you folks are in favor of getting access to free money, we can vote on that. Anything you want to add to that, Teresa?
The only thing I'll add to it is, like all money, it comes with strings, and the strings are very specific strings. And attached to what you have there is the contract that you enter into in order to get the funds. And there's also assurances of compliance with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And there are certain provisions that need to be put in every subcontract to a third-party vendor that you may work with in expending the funds. Like if you hire somebody to do something, you have to put in this specific language under 5. So, there's requirements regarding complaint logs and information. So I would just say, it's really going to be important to keep this all together so we're careful to follow every one of these requirements and how we spend the money. So that's all. Just being a lawyer.
Yeah, there's wording that we have to include in any contracts that we put together with vendors to do any of the work.
Yeah. Plus, you have to maintain all the records for at least 5 years. So, it's also true that they're likely to, seek an accounting for how the funds were spent.
Mm-hmm. They should.
They should, yeah. They should.
Okay, any comments?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Can those funds be used to extend broadband service in the town?
I believe they can. I believe that they can.
That's an interesting thing. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Is that your understanding, Teresa? I believe that they can.
Well, the New York State Association of Towns has a program that they put together on what the funds can be spent on. So that's online. Okay. So I would recommend that you take a look at that.
And I saw that PowerPoint.
Yes.
And I didn't see the actual webcast, but I did go through the PowerPoint and they did mention broadband. So, yeah. Okay, any other comments? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Potter.
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Councilmember Gantler.
Aye.
Councilmember Sims.
Aye.
Okay, we've got one more.
Motion to approve Double B Electric as a new vendor.
You had a short one.
I'll second it. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Councilmember Senecal.
Aye.
All right, that concludes the business meeting. So we are down to privilege of the floor. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. Please be respectful. Address the entire town board. Individual board members are not to be singled out. Speak of issues related to town business only. There will be no tolerance for personal attacks on board members. The board reserves the right to ask that your questions be put in writing and to be submitted to the town clerk, then be distributed to the town board. Questions will be answered in a timely manner and mailed or emailed to the resident. As I mentioned earlier, since Supervisor Tibble is unable to attend tonight's meeting, it's the board's prerogative to defer a response to a question or issue until the board has had the opportunity to discuss the issue with the supervisor. If you do wish to speak, please begin by providing your name and your address. Is anyone participating via Zoom? Is anyone out there that would like to speak?
Good evening, this is Lynn Bruning, 13388 Dwainsburg Road. At the June 24th town board meeting, I was repeatedly interrupted. I was not permitted to complete my statement. I request that the board please allow speakers to complete their statements before responding. This is particularly important for virtual meetings. I was also told at that meeting I only had 3 minutes, but Councilman Ganther just corrected that. So I do understand that the bottom of the agenda does say 5 minutes, and we are allowed 5 minutes. Thank you for that. And thank you for the response to the appeal of my May 18th, 2021 Freedom of Information request. For the town's record, the town's response, Exhibit A, pages 13 to 22, are documents for Delaware Engineering. These documents appear to be unrelated to my request. The town website appears to contain limited content for Freedom of Information law. Attached are some screenshots documenting the sparse information that I was able to find. I request that the town please add information on how to appeal the town's denial or lack of response. Please include a link to the Department of State Committee on Open Government website. The Committee on Open Government provides free webinars on freedom of information and open meeting law. Form letters are provided and decisions are posted. On July 15th at 10 a.m., there's a free online webinar hosted by the committee. On July 7th at 5:15 p.m., the agenda for tonight's meeting was posted, and the link opened to the June 24th draft meeting minutes. The link was revised a few minutes later, and it correctly opened to the July 8th, 2021 agenda. And then today at 12:30, the link for the agenda was again revised to include the supporting documents that are discussed at tonight's meeting. Providing a digital date and timestamp on the agendas provides transparency and accountability. It prevents confusion and misinformation. The board meeting minutes, which are the official town record, these documents can be used to clarify detail and provide facts to the court. I have repeatedly requested that the meeting minutes include a digital date and time stamp. The town website has this functionality. Providing a date and time stamp will decrease opportunities for impropriety and help protect the town. Please include a date and time stamp on the meeting minutes. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Lynn. Does anyone else like to comment via Zoom? Going once, going twice. Anyone in the audience like to comment on anything related to town business?
I should probably say that my name is Annabelle Felton, and I was the one who made the comment, asked the question about the availability of the federal funding for broadband. I did not identify myself. I also, Teresa, I think I might have found a typo in the solar law, and I'll
give
that to you when.
I appreciate it.
And the town board appreciates your confession. Okay. We all good? All right. I make a motion that we adjourn tonight's board meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Gethler?
Aye.
Councilmember Bodden?
Aye.
Councilmember Sonico?
Aye.
Councilmember Wetzel?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. For those here in person, please travel home safely. All right.
Thank you. I feel good to have everybody in the same.